John sits on the couch in his living room with his arm around his wife, Shannon, baby toys to one side. With a groomed goatee and a slight belly, he's just another middle-aged dad. The couple knew each other back in high school. Shannon is friends with John's sister. And they found each other again right after John was released from prison.
I just knew that he was going to be my husband, and I just kind of knew.
But for John...
That first day, you knew?
She knew.
After spending nearly 20 years behind bars, nothing was that straightforward.
You know, when I first got released, relationships were very hard for me. It was one thing to have relationships with my family. So it was really scary to have anything other than that. And so I wasn't prepared to be in a romantic relationship. I wasn't prepared emotionally or mentally to be in one. And yet here's this woman that I wanted to be in one with and didn't know how to do it.
John was 19 in early 1994 when he went to prison for his involvement with a murder. To put it in context, that was before the internet was big, before Kurt Cobain died, and before apartheid officially ended in South Africa. John says when he was finally released in 2013, he struggled with even simple things, like being alone in public spaces without someone of authority around. And he faced one of his biggest challenges, finding a job.
It was a nightmare. It was crazy. When I first got out, trying to find any job, Denny's wouldn't hire me. They wouldn't even look at me a second glance. I'm no fast food place, no restaurants. They didn't want to hire someone who had done as much time as I'd done, who had made the mistakes that I'd made. They didn't want to take the chance on me.
He says he applied to dozens of places, but no one would look past the check marks in the box indicating he had a criminal history.
You know, trying to put down murder in the first degree and perjury, you know, how does that look? I don't want someone that was in for murder working for me. I had so many people just shut the door. I had one place in a computer shop where I got into the interview. Interview went good. When we talked about my situation, he said, my insurance will never cover you, so I can't hire you.
It took John 2.5 months before he got his first break, and the job was temporary. He was let go from the next position because felons can't work in places that sell firearms.
There was at least one time there when I was ready to go back, ready to give up and go back, but I didn't because of this woman next to me.
Do you remember that point?
Yes, I do. It was pretty scary. Just the fact that, you know, he couldn't find any job, and it was just really scary to know that, you know, the stigma and the fact that, you know, what he did 20 years ago is still affecting his life now.
The stigma comes up in conversation over and over with almost everyone with a criminal background. Tamika Ledbetter, the manager of the Mat-Su and Eagle River Job Centers, says the stigma of returning from prison is real, but not every employer is opposed to hiring people with criminal histories.
Employers are more willing to take a chance on a returning citizen than most returning citizens are even aware of.
She says many small local businesses, construction companies, and seafood companies are willing to look past criminal records. And there are incentives. The federal government offers tax credits to companies that hire felons within 1 year of release. The state offers fidelity bonding, which is like free extra insurance in case an employee does steal from the employer. Ledbetter says people can get past the box by writing quality resumes that focused on their skills, just like any other applicant.
Skills are skills are skills, and they don't necessarily need to come from paid employment. So any volunteer work, any work that you've done on the side, whatever it is that you've done, we want to look at those skills. And even those things that you were doing when you were inside.
John's resume focuses on his computer skills, things he learned in classes and taught himself while he was still incarcerated. And he has a good job now, a really good job, that helps him pay his bills and support his family. But he's still worried about the stigma. He thinks that if everyone knows he has a murder charge, he could lose everything he's worked for. And that's why we're only using his first name.
You're sharing my background because I'm in a position that I work with clients all day. And I'm afraid that that if the clients that I work with knew my past, that it would adversely affect my position.
John explains that his higher-ups recommended he not share his full name because they had the same fear, that clients wouldn't want to work with him. But for Shannon, the danger of his past being publicly announced on the radio is about more than just his livelihood.
I don't want people to look at John as who he was versus who he is now, because he's a totally different person.
John nods in agreement. He's not a 19-year-old kid anymore, trying desperately to be cool. He's a father, a church leader, and a professional computer technician. It took him years to get to this point, and he has no desire to go back. From the Urban Affairs Desk, I'm Ann Hillman.